Welcome back to Feminist Book Club, the podcast. We're not just about feminist books. We are here for social justice, literature, and media in all its forms. But we do that through an intersectional feminist lens. Thanks for being here. Let's get started. Hi, everyone. Welcome back. I am Renee Powers. Today, I am joined with Rashmila. Rashmila is one of our blog contributors. Welcome.
Hi, thank you.
So tell us a little bit about you before we dive into what we're doing today.
This is Rashmila. As Rennie mentioned, I am a blog contributor at Feminist Book Club. However, I am originally from India and I'm currently living in Oregon. I am an independent scholar and I like to talk about books and films. And we are excited about today's episode. I also host a podcast called Reading Squad Podcast, and that is available on all the major podcast platforms.
And we'll, of course, link your podcast in the show notes. So if you love what Rashmila has to say today, go check out her other podcast. But today we are talking about Mercury Boys by Chandra Prasad. And I want to read the synopsis. And I will say we are going to spoil this book. So be forewarned and trigger warnings for bullying, especially. So this is the synopsis of the book, according to, you know, the publisher. History and the speculative collide with the modern world when a group of high school girls form a secret society after discovering they can communicate with boys from the past. In this powerful look at female desire, jealousy, and the shifting lines between friendship and rivalry. After her life is upended by divorce and a cross-country move, 16-year-old Saskia Brown feels like an outsider at her new school. Not only is she a transplant, but she's also biracial in a mostly white student population. One day, while visiting her only friend at her part-time library job, Saskia encounters a vial of liquid mercury, then touches an old daguerreotype, the precursor to the modern-day photograph. She makes a startling discovery. She's somehow able to visit the man in the portrait, Robert Cornelius, a brilliant young inventor from the 19th century. The hitch is she can only see him in her dreams. Saskia shares her revelation with some classmates, hoping to find connection and friendship among strangers. Under her guidance, the girls steal portraits of young men from a local college daguerreotype collection and try the dangerous experiment for themselves. Soon, they each form a bond with their own Mercury Boy, from an injured Union soldier to a charming pickpocket in New York City. At night, the girls visit the boys in their dreams. During the day, they hold clandestine meetings of their new secret society. At first, the Mercury Boys Club is a thrilling diversion from their troubled everyday lives, but it's not long before jealousy, violence, and secrets threaten everything the girls hold dear. So that is what the publisher has to say about this book. Rashmila, where should we start?
I think for the past few months maybe, or at least this has been a recent trend where you have novels that have two timelines going on. So one is the historical fiction and one is the contemporary one. I'm specifically thinking of books like The Lost Apothecary, as well as The Invisible Life of Addie LaRue. So these are the two ones that I recently read, and I enjoyed them because I am not a big fan of historical fiction. So when that is interspersed with contemporary fiction, it is fun to read for me. And for a lot of other people, it might just be the other way around. But this was just a very, very strange book. And I was hoping there would be more examples of a lot of other topics, perhaps more about the environmental impact of what was going on, because it is set in a industry town, and I was hoping there would be more things going on that. I was hoping also there would be more exploration of the biracial identity of Saskia Brown. I was really looking forward to that, and that did not happen. I liked some of the instances, but it's a very strange book and it's not for everyone, as you said.
Yeah, here are kind of my takeaways. The premise, fabulous. So yes. Interested, so much promise. Yes. The execution fell flat for me. However, that doesn't mean that it's a bad book. It just means that it didn't go the way I wanted. I will say that Saskia and her best friend, Lila, Lila, she's Latinx, so it might be Lila. They were great characters. I really appreciated their friendship. I wanted more of their friendship and more interaction between the two of them.
Yes, absolutely.
In the end, it felt super rushed to me.
Yes, I am completely with you on that. The ending seemed as if it needed to be resolved as soon as possible. Yeah. And it was just like a slapdash kind of a thing. And I really wanted more of, I wanted Saskia's friendship with Layla to be more explored. And again, these are just things that I'm thinking, there may have been other things that the author thought about, which could not be done. Maybe it was, if that would have been explored, it might have been a really long novel. I don't know what the intentions were behind all of that. So yeah, I agree. There could have been a bit more exploration of the two girls.
Yeah, I like what you're saying about this dual timeline fiction. I also loved The Lost Apothecary by Sarah Penner. I think that's a beautiful example of that, of, you know, pairing up the life of, you know, somebody from the past and the parallels of kind of current day adventures or what have you. Yes. I will also say a young adult version of that is excellent is Mad, Bad, and Dangerous to Know by Samira Ahmed. It's excellent. So, I mean, this is a young adult book. So if you want like a young adult book that does it super well, Mad, Bad, and Dangerous to Know by Samira Ahmed. Anyways, I think what was disjointed to me about Mercury Boys is that the Mercury Boys, that they all like pick out a photograph to travel back in time to, you know, have a relationship with these boys, their young men from history. And they're all different parts of history. And it felt like we see their dreams, we get, you know, chapters of each girl in these different parts of history. I wonder if it would have been like more successful if they had all gone back to the same time period, or maybe like the same friend group, or if they had found a picture with four people in it and they all like decided to have relationships with those four people. It felt really, I think that's why it felt disjointed to me, is because you had so much present day, and then when they went back in time, it was never the same time period.
Yes, I think a unifying factor in the past would have been better. I also think maybe instead of having five girls, right? Saskia, Layla, the Semper sisters, and Adrian. So five girls. Instead of having five girls, maybe it could have been done, shortened down to three or four.
Yeah.
Maybe that would have helped to explore the past stories as well as the contemporary storylines better. That's just my idea, because I wasn't really invested in all the characters' past boyfriends / friends, girlfriends. I was very much interested in the girlfriend part. I wanted more of that, but there was just, I think, one chapter that was dedicated to that. And I won't say who that was, but I wanted more of that.
Yeah, there is a queer relationship in this, but there's like no time spent on it.
And I was very sad about that.
Same.
Yeah, I really wanted to know more about that, because the time period that this particular character goes to is a really crucial time in women's history, whatever I know of. I was like, oh, wow, this is awesome. I will get more of it. And then it was like, nope. That's just the teaser that you got. You are not getting anything else. And I was like,
yeah, I was so excited. I was so, when it dawned on me where she was, I was like, oh, this is so cool. Like I've been there. Like I know exactly which building they're walking into. It's like the beginning of the women's suffrage movement. And it's just like, yes, that's what I was here for. But you're right. You just get like a taste of it. I feel like maybe each of these characters, and possibly that might have been the author's pitch in the first place, like, wouldn't it have been cool if these characters had each had their own books? Like if this had been a series, I think it could have been really interesting to follow, you know, these different girls going back in the past.
Yes. And I think because Saskia is the protagonist, we get more of her time traveling, which is totally fine. But I was, as I said, I was not invested. I was invested in the American Civil War soldier story also, because that also seemed a good point in terms of history, also in terms of what women went through, and also the medical aspect of it. So again, that would have been a cool thing. I was not very interested in the pickpocket one, nor in the in the poet one, I think, I would have to say.
Yeah, yeah, I would say that they the author dropped some really funny and Easter eggs in the poet one, because I think she was hanging out with like Henry David Thoreau and didn't realize it. I thought that was a cute addition to those chapters. But, you know, did we need those chapters at all? Probably not.
Yeah, I think it could have been better. I mean, again, for someone who likes historical fiction and young adult stories, definitely this is a good one. But we, as both of us are saying, we do have it's not for everyone.
Yeah. I think one of the big themes in this book that you don't realize until kind of the big reveal at the end, and again, like I said, we're going to spoil this book, is this theme of girl-on-girl bullying. And this is really what is propelling the story, is Saskia doesn't realize until the very end that this whole thing has been a scheme set up to her by her bullies. And they have brought her into kind of their inner sanctum with this, you know, secret society, but the secret society is all just a tool to make Saskia feel shitty about herself. So I'm always surprised by big reveals in books. I'm so gullible. But Rishvila, did you suspect Paige and Sarah Beth of being bullies? Did you trust them? What was your sense of them throughout the book?
I did not like them. They were entitled, privileged. They seemed to get, they for me, it seemed as if they were taking on Saskia as a project because she's the new girl over the summer. So I didn't like that. And I was like, Saskia, you've got such an amazing friend in Lila. What the hell is wrong with you? Mm-hmm. I can use more expletives, but I won't. I was like, what the hell is wrong with you? And I understand from her perspective, because her parents are divorced. She's her mother. I did not like the mother at all. And I really liked the father a lot. I appreciated whatever he was doing for Saskia with everything that has been going on. So that's that. But I didn't like the Sampras sisters. It might just be my inherent mistrust of everything. Yeah. Or it just might be the fact that they were very privileged. And Saskia sees that they were privileged, they are rich. She subconsciously compares her environment, her family, with that of the Sampras sisters. But I did not realize the ending. I thought there might have been going something wrong, but I wanted to give them the benefit of doubt. I am usually not as gullible as you
as
mean,
I am.
As you are. Okay, we'll go with that. But at the same point of time, I did not trust them. So yeah. If that makes sense. And yeah. I think with the third friend, Adrian. With Adrian, I was like, and Adrian has a really strange friendship with the Sampras sisters. It's very, she's also seen as a project in some ways. The things that the Sampras sisters asks of Adrian. So it was a strange sister bond. Yeah, so one of the reasons I was not very surprised is that often in American popular culture, people who are rich and privileged are demonized, and we are rooting for the underdog. But at the same point of time over here, I think it could have been fine if they were not privileged, maybe, mm-hmm. or if there was some redeeming quality in them.
Yeah, it was something
so bad.
It felt like their wealth was actually like a storytelling device. Like they needed resources for some things. And but also they were like swindlers. I mean, they talked all of the group into getting matching tattoos and underage. There's absolutely no tattoo shop in the Northeast, especially where there's going to be, you know, dudes that are willing to give a bunch of like obviously 16-year-old girls tattoos.
For very strange exchanges.
Yeah, I mean, so these girls are kind of savants in swindling people. And they also are hella wealthy. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I didn't trust them, but I also didn't expect them to hatch this mastermind you know, summer long bullying plan.
It's just too much of work.
Yeah, it was a lot of work. It was a lot of work to ruin somebody's life.
I understood somewhat what their purpose was behind this whole summer long project of bullying Saskia. But at the same point of time, it's just too much of work.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you are going through these elaborate schemes and projects and ideas for bullying someone who did a wrong to you. I've never thought anyone to be so vengeful, but I might just be living in my own bubble.
I mean, yeah, 16-year-old girls can be mean and vengeful. My first inclination is to be like the same thing. You know, why do you have to be so mean to Saskia? Like, she fooled around with your ex-boyfriend when you guys were on a break or whatever. It was very friends, yes. Friends-ish, yes. You know, like Ross and Rachel. Yes. But I know you love Friends.
Unfortunately, that is one of my guilty pleasures.
So, you know, Saskia fools around with, I forget, one of the sisters, you know, the Ross.
Paige
is Ross.
Paige actually does seem like Ross.
So they decide to hatch this plan to get back at her. But, you know, Saskia is the new girl. She doesn't know. She doesn't know the dynamics. Everybody in their high school knows the dynamics between this couple. But she doesn't. She's new. And he was showing interest in her. And, you know, 50% of the person in that relationship is the guy. And so it just sucks that this whole story is a compulsive read. It was hard to put down. But it's all being fueled by jealousy for a boy. Ugh.
Yes. And I could not wrap my head around that. Mm-hmm. As I said, I understand. I've been 16, but I was never vengeful like that. In fact, for me, the way that I have grown up, I've always had a support system of friends, girlfriends, a lot. And I really wanted more of that. For me, I thought maybe the Mercury Boys Club could have worked a bit on girlhood and sisterhood and supporting, because I think that's important. But it was, you're doing everything for a boy who is also a very strange person. Like, they are an on and off relationship. And it's not something to ruin a girl's life for.
Yeah. So. But at the end, I mean, I don't think Saskia is ruined. That is one thing. Like, I think she's a great character because...
Yeah. I like the ending of her and Lila, like everything that they plan to do and they are thinking about doing. That made me happy.
Yeah, they have their own happy ending. They've endured this, you know, terroristic summer together. And I mean, it's emotional terrorism. Bullying is emotional terrorism when it comes to 16-year-old girls.
Yes, yes.
Yeah. And I think that, you know, Saskia and Lila's relationship is better off for it. Like, they're stronger together for it. And Saskia kind of we see her resilience in the end and her relationship with her dad. I also love her dad. I think he's a great character. Yeah. I mean, they're stronger for it too. What did you think about, you mentioned that you hated her mother. For listeners who haven't read this and are thinking of reading it, you know, their parents separated because her mom had an affair with one of her substitute teachers who is half of her age, half of the mother's age. What did you think about those family dynamics? Was that believable to you?
If you see it, for me, it was fine. Like, you can have an affair and you might want to, like, give that a shot. But I think it could have been better in terms of how the mom handled the whole situation with Saskia and Saskia's father.
That's how I mean,
I understand that if you do, we are never sure why she has an affair. Mm-hmm. At least I could not understand why she has an affair. Why she has the affair and then the relationship for which they are divorcing. I was not sure of her. We never know whether they had an unhappy marriage or what was going on. And I think I would have liked to know a bit about that, especially if the mom had had like a heart-to-heart conversation. I think she fires these questions to Saskia and Saskia is always like, oh, I don't know what's going on. I would have wanted more of that. If we knew why the mom has a relationship with her, with the substitute teacher who's half the age, I may have been a bit more sympathetic and understanding towards the mom. I mean, people fall out of love, they do crazy things, that's fine. I'm not passing a judgment thing over here. It's your relationship, your life, you do whatever you want to. But I think if she had just explained to Saskia why she was doing it, then I think Saskia would have also been able to move on.
Yeah, exactly.
I mean, to a certain extent.
Exactly. I completely agree. Like what Saskia's mom does in her personal life, I mean, that's up to her. I don't judge it either. Yeah. However, when you are a parent to a teenager, especially, like Saskia wasn't born yesterday, you know? Like I wish that her mother would have just been a little more human with her, because I think that Saskia would have been a little bit better adjusted. I mean, I know that her dad wanted to give her a new start on the East Coast, but you know, Saskia has a lot of questions that are not getting answered from anyone, and her mom isn't willing to go there with her. And it's, you know, as a child of divorce myself, like one thing that my parents did do was, you know, explain what was going on. And I'm grateful for that. Was it hard? Mm-hmm. Yeah. But I felt like, you know, I could ask the questions that I needed answers for. And Saskia didn't have that kind of relationship with her mom.
Yeah, and the reason why Saskia's mom wants her in her life is also very selfish.
So selfish.
I mean, I understand that it is hard for someone to, for the costs concerned with, should I say daycare or should I leave
that? Yeah, I think you could, let's spoil it. We already said we're going to spoil the shit out of it.
I wasn't sure because I don't usually like spoiling stuff. But anyway, we are going all in. So Saskia's mom wanted Saskia in her life so that Saskia could be a good nanny because the mom could not afford daycare. This is an important question because a lot of people, I think, especially during the pandemic, have realized that you need to have affordable daycare so that moms and other parents can get back to the workforce. So I liked the fact that this question was raised, but Saskia's mom was horrible to want her daughter back so that the daughter can take care of her half sibling.
Mm-hmm. And she's not even pregnant yet, right? Like, she's like, we're thinking about having another kid, move back so you can take care of it. It's like, no, that's not how that works. If you can't take care of a kid, don't have a kid.
Exactly. So this is very close to me about kids and stuff because, I see this happening around me where people will have kids so that their relationship can be better instead of going to therapy, or have a kid because that's what your culture demands. And I am from India, so it's a huge thing. Or have a kid so that you have insurance for your future, all of that stuff. But you need to have, if you want to have a kid, you want to have a kid for the right reasons.
Right.
Because you are ready to be a parent.
Clearly Saskia's mom is not ready to be a parent because she's a shitty parent to Saskia.
Exactly. Oh my God. Yes, exactly. I think if the father had wanted a kid, I would say go for it.
Right.
Because you are a great father. You are taking excellent care of Saskia. If the father wanted to have a kid, yay. Mother wanted to have another kid, no.
Right. I'm glad we're on the same page there. So yes, like Saskia has a shitty mom. She's got shitty friends. She's having a shitty summer. And I don't know how to, I think we should wrap this up because I also don't want to say, I don't want to be here and just, I'm going to say the word shit again. I don't want to shit all over this book because there are a lot of redeeming qualities. Like I said, Saskia and her friend Lila are really great characters. I really enjoyed reading kind of Saskia's inner monologue and you know, her thoughts and feelings around things that are going on and the way that she's like, dealing with a lot of the drama of a summer felt really familiar to me. Like a summer where you've got too much time on your hands as a teenager. Yes, I understand that. But in the end, the time travel, while it was a really interesting and captivating premise, I think it fell short. But caveat, if you are a big fan of historical fiction, this gives you a lot of different points and touch points in history to visit. So yes, maybe that's a plus for some people, where for us it was a little disjointed.
Yes. And I, as you mentioned, Saskia's character is great, just because of the way that it goes up and down, up and down. And then she grows throughout the book. She does realize a lot of things about herself and people around her. And I also like Lila and her friendship. Having said that, I also liked what she decides regarding her Mercury boyfriend. That was, again, a good thing. And I applaud her for that, especially with everything that was going in her contemporary friend circle. That took a lot of courage with what she did. So I liked, if you like strong women characters, then this might be a good book for you. But again, for us, it felt a bit strange. If you like strange books, then this is a book for you.
And you know what? I like a lot of strange books. So yes, I'm not going to judge anybody for wanting to read a strange book. So this is out beginning of August. I want to say August 6th from Soho Teen. It's called Mercury Boys by Chandra Prasad. And we are giving away a copy for the readathon. So I will say it is a quick read. So if you want like a quick YA summary, little magical realism element to it, sci-fi element to it, this would be a great book. So it's going to be part of our readathon giveaway. Rashmila, would you like to share kind of your quick and dirty 90-second pitch for why people should join the readathon?
You get amazing books, you get amazing prizes, you meet a lot of amazing, friendly, cool people. Yeah, these are the three reasons why you should definitely join the readathon. Oh, one last thing, you come up with your own targets. So you decide how long you want to read, what you want to read, what kind of medium you want to read. So I like ebooks. I am not a fan of audiobooks. I get super distracted, but that's just me. I also like a lot of crazy, strange books. So I have no idea what I'm going to read, but I'm excited about it. And you can also read whatever you want. You set your own targets. And I'm going to pitch our blog for this. Do look out on our blog. We've done, this is our second year doing the readathon. It was great fun last year. It's going to be even more fun this year because we are more experienced. We will have amazing prizes. Check out our blogs for what you can expect this year. We will also have ideas on how to make the most of the readathon, what kinds of food are good for eating, and Rennie's super excited about that aspect.
My favorite part.
That's her favorite part. How to read when you are going for a walk, what to talk to your family and friends about it so that you don't get crazy responsibilities when you're concentrating on winning the readathon. It's just a fun thing to do. I made a lot of friends last year, and I'm sure you will also too.
I love that. One thing I love about it is just, you know, like you said, you make your own targets. You can read whenever you want, but you know that when you want to check in on social media, there's going to be somebody there to like chit chat with. If you want to, you know, slide into another readathoner's DMs and talk about a book, like you can totally do that. Check out the hashtag, see, you know, who's reading the same book you are. And you can comment like, oh, what did you think about this character? I just thought it's a lot of fun. It's a social reading experience, which you don't get a lot. So yeah, take the weekend of July 23rd through 25th to join us. And you can get all of the information at feministbookclub.com/readathon. You do have to register to be eligible for prizes. So if you want to win a copy of Mercury Boys or one of our like 50 or 75 other copies or other books, we've got so many good books that you can be eligible to win. So make sure that you are registered and then just like interact with us. And we are going to do just kind of surprise giveaways all weekend long. And if you're interacting with us on social media, you will be eligible to win. So that is all we have to share today. Rashmila, where can we find you on social media if we want to connect further?
Yeah, so on my social media, I am there as rmaiti, so r_maiti on Instagram. I'm also available on Literary Snippets on Instagram. That's my Insta handles. As far as Twitter is concerned, I'm available at bookreviewite. So it's book, review, and then ITE. I suck at names. So that's about it.
We'll put links to those in the show notes. Rashmila, thank you so much for joining me today. It has been so fun to talk to you about this book that, you know, it's not for everybody, but it was a good, fun read. I'm glad I read it, and I think you are too. So make sure you check out Rashmila's post. She does great reviews on our blog as well. So we will put links to, you know, all of her content, all of our Feminist Book Club content. If you want to hang out with me, I'm on Instagram at Belle Renee, or you can connect with us on the Feminist Book Club Box Instagram too. Have a great day, everybody, and we will see you soon.
Today's episode is brought to you in collaboration with Boss Dottie. Boss Dottie is a one-woman stationery and gift company celebrating the everyday with fingers crossed. Their playfully illustrated products, inspired by resilient women, perpetual daydreamers, and cautious optimists, are designed and packaged by hand in Bed-Stuy, Brooklyn, with lots of love and attention to detail. Teresa Behrens is the designer, illustrator, shipper, warehouse manager, and reluctant bookkeeper behind Boss Dottie, a labor of love that would not be possible without pop-in help from a wildly supportive band of family and friends in Brooklyn and Nebraska. Her creative, independent, and resilient grandmother, Dorothy, is Boss Dottie's namesake. August Box subscribers will be receiving a Boss Dottie Suncatcher decal in their August boxes, and we know you're going to love them. See all of their options at bossdottie.com and use code FBC20 for 20% off your order. That's bossdottie.com, and the promo code is FBC20. Thank you so much for sponsoring today's episode.
Hey everyone, it's Christine Ballo, and I am here today to chat about some graphic novel recommendations for any time you're in the mood, and or specifically for our upcoming Feminist Book Club podcast readathon that's happening. I'm very excited about it. I don't know about y'all, but whenever I'm doing a readathon, or if I'm like wanting to try to get feel accomplished with my reading life and my reading goals, graphic novels are a great way to do that, because you can read them relatively quickly. They're like great palate cleansers after you've read a long book. And there's just such a wealth of genres and art styles and everything. So I'm a big fan of them. And if you're looking for something to add to your reading list for the readathon, I've got you. Okay, so I'm going to start with the first one. So I've got two middle grade graphic novels. The first one is Measuring Up by Lily Lamott and Anne Zhu. And it's about a 12-year-old girl named Cece. She just moved to America from Taiwan, and she loves cooking. She really wants her grandmother to come stay with them or come visit them, but, you know, how are they going to pay for a plane ticket? Well, Cece ends up finding out about this cooking contest. She channels her inner Julia Child and enters the cooking contest. Makes a friend. It is such a fun book. It's just really charming. The main character is like tenacious and creative. And if you are a fan of shows like The Great British Bake Off or kids cooking competition kind of shows, this is definitely one for you. This is good, yeah, for adults of all ages and kids, like middle grade. I think it's fabulous, and I love anything with food in it. All right, and our next one is Lightfall. It's book one, so I'm very excited that there's going to be more books in the series. It's book one, Lightfall, The Girl and the Galdurian, and it's by Tim Probert, and it is magic. It's fantasy. It is epic and sweeping, and it's just so fabulous. It's about this girl B, and this is a middle grade as well, and she and her grandfather, they are the keepers of this, like, eternal light, and one day her grandfather has gone missing, and she, meanwhile, has connected with this creature. He's part of an ancient race of amphibious beings, and his name is Cad. And they end up going on an adventure to try to find Bee's grandfather. And adventure, friendship, it's just, it's awesome. And the artwork is just so stunning and beautiful. Like, you'll feel like you really are being swept up into this epic fantasy world. It's so lovely. Again, great for all ages, kids and adults. It was one of my favorite books that I read from 2020, and I highly recommend it. And then next is a YA graphic novel called Displacement, and it's by Kiku Hughes. And it's, okay, I get excited when I talk about this one, so I have to compose myself, y'all. It is about another Kiku. So it's like kind of not memoir, but it's like sort of inspired by the author and her grandmother. So she's on vacation. It's present day San Francisco. And then something happens, like there's this mist that comes into the air and she gets displaced and kind of, and like time travels back to 1940s. And she is in the Japanese American internment camp where her grandmother was forced to relocate during World War II, and she doesn't know how to get back to present time, so she ends up living alongside her grandmother and experiencing firsthand what her grandmother went through and the other people in the internment camps. And it's just so well done. I've heard from quite a few teachers who read this with their students, and the students, you know, it's a great way to learn about this experience and part of history that maybe hasn't been talked about too much or taught in school, although it's being talked about a little bit more in recent years. It's amazing. I think if you're a fan of Octavia Butler and her book Kindred, it's got like that similar kind of sci-fi element, but not fully sci-fi. And yeah, again, that's YA. I think it's great for teens, for adults who like YA, or even if you don't like YA, or, you know, you think you don't, I think this is one that's worth giving a shot. It's just, it's so well done, and it's really emotional and beautiful. Okay, so we've got two more picks. The first one, so these last two are, would be considered, like, adult, and the first one is Good Talk, A Memoir and Conversations by Mira Jacob. This one has been really popular, especially on Bookstagram, and it's heartbreaking, it's heartwarming. It's based on Mira Jacob, her conversations with her son, her, you know, experiences that she's had as a brown woman in America and married to a white man, and, you know, post 9/11 world, the experiences that her interracial family has been going through, and just an exploration of identity, of race. It's incredible. It's one of those books that, you know, you could just pick up and read at any point and you'll always get something new out of it. And it really resonates. If you're a person of color, a woman of color, if you're in an interracial relationship, I think it really hits home in a lot of ways. And then our last recommendation for the segment today is Shadow Life by Hiromi Goto and Anzu, who actually also did the art for Measuring Up. So Shadow Life is so good. It's about a Japanese-Canadian woman who's in her 70s, Kumiko. She is on the lam from her nursing home because she's like, I'm not ready to die, and that place is sad. Like, peace out, bitches. And she doesn't want her daughters, her well-meaning adult daughters, to take her back to the nursing home. So she, like, escapes the nursing home and gets her own place and won't tell them where she's living right now because she doesn't want them to, like, take her back. But she, like, senses this shadow. It's, like, death's shadow. And she ends up vacuuming up death, the shadow, because she's like, I'm not ready to die. And she has these sort of adventures. She, like, goes swimming every day. She makes friends with the neighbors. She ends up connecting with a long-lost friend / love. It's so good. And it, you know, I love that it has a protagonist who is in her 70s, who's an older woman, who's biracial, or not biracial, but Japanese Canadian, and it's just, she's an unlikely hero, and I love her. There's just, like, so much just subtle humor in the book. It's fabulous. So I hope those are some recommendations that will get you inspired if you're looking to add a couple, a graphic novel or two into your readathon TBR again. So we had Measuring Up and Lightfall, The Girl and the Galdorian, Displacement, Good Talk, and Shadow Life. If you need that, those will be in the show notes. And if you want more recommendations, or if you want to send me a message and tell me what you, if you ended up reading any of those, I am at Reading is Magical on Instagram, and on Twitter, I'm at Readings Magical. Thanks, guys. Happy reading.
Thank you for tuning in to today's episode of Feminist Book Club, the podcast. Want to be part of the club? Here's how you can join us. Obviously, subscribe to our podcast and leave a rating and review for brownie points. Follow along on Instagram, Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest, and TikTok. All of those links are in the show notes. Sign up for our newsletter to be the first to know what our next monthly book pick is. And check out our award-winning monthly book subscription service. Oprah Magazine named it one of their favorite book boxes, and Shonda Rhimes called us one of her favorite subscription boxes in general. There are multiple membership levels for any budget, and it's an excellent way to support the show and the voices you heard today. See you in the club.
Well-read woman is a